Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church's webcast. We're so glad you're here with us. Today, we're celebrating Pentecost Sunday. We're looking at it not just as history, but as something God does with us here now through His Word. Please enjoy the sermon.
Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." This is God's word. Will you pray with me? Spirit of God, today we ask for clarity about your work. Help us understand how it is that we access your power. And Lord, we ask that when we discover this way of access, that you draw us to repentance, to turn to it, to receive it, to open our ears to it, to believe and have faith in it. We ask that you give us this power because of the grace that we only deserve through Jesus Christ. Amen. It was back in 2015 when a guy by the name of Mohammed Khatani walked out onto the International Toastmasters Speech Championship. And when he walked out onto the stage, he put his hand in his pocket, pulled out a cigarette, stuck it in his mouth, and pretended to light it. Then he looked at the audience and he said, "What?" And they laughed at him. And then he went after him. He said, "Oh, you think smoking kills?" He said, "Let me tell you something. Did you know that 3 times as many people die from diabetes as they do from smoking? And yet, if I pulled out a Snickers bar right now, none of you would have said a thing." He said, "You know what the leading cause of lung cancer is? Not smoking. It's your DNA." He said, "You know what's true? People go after smoking because they just want to restrict the farming of tobacco." He went on. He said, I have a friend. His name was Nasak. Nasak loved his dad. He idolized his dad. He wanted his dad to love him, to respect him. He said Nasak went to college. He got straight A's. Nasak thought to himself, maybe my dad will love me now. Maybe he'll pay attention to me now. And so he called up his dad. He said, Dad, I got straight A's at school. Dad, are you proud? Dad, tell me you're proud. Dad said back, oh, son, I'm busy. Let me call you back. Click. And then Mohammed Qahtani made his point. He said, words have power. That speech, which became known as the power of words, won Mohammed Qahtani the title of the world's most powerful public speaker. Still holds the title. You know, I think he won. It wasn't just that Mohammed Qahtani had this well-crafted speech. It's that he showed us the power of words. He showed us that the power of words can rip to shred our hypocrisies about various health threats, or just as adeptly crush the soul of a son that's never really come alive in the first place. He showed us the power of words. And when he did that, I think he won because not only was it a well-crafted speech, but also because Mohammed Qahtani tapped into a deep, deep cultural nerve that we're all feeling right now. We all want words to matter. You realize that, right? Because our world is awash in words. You experience it every day. There's blogs, there's talking heads on TV, there's bites coming at us in Twitter, 144 characters or less. You've got novels flying off the shelf, hundreds of pages long. Words, words, and more words. You know what we're afraid of deep down? We're afraid that we've become numb to them. And I think you know what I'm talking about, like this feeling you get in your brain when you've been dealing with words all day and you can't take it anymore. It's like you're trying to fill a cup with a fire hydrant. And so we want words to matter. This is why we do Instagram now, not blogs. This is why BuzzFeed is going crazy, not Atlantic Monthly. Because we feel bad about words. Poor, undervalued, and underappreciated words. I point this out because I think Luke felt the same way. You have to understand something about what Luke's doing here. Luke's not a historian. You realize that? He's an evangelist. Luke doesn't care about history for the sake of history. Luke only cares about how history bears on our present. Look, well, this is what I'm trying to say to you, is that Pentecost isn't some dead historical artifact. What Luke is trying to show us is that Pentecost has present power. He doesn't care about just what happened. He's trying to tell us what's still happening today. Now, I don't want to beat a dead horse on this, but I think it's important that you understand this. You know, Pentecost was an Old Testament festival. It goes way, way longer than the New Testament. You know what it was? It was always only the beginning of what God was up to. Because you know what it was? It was the bringing in. It was only the bringing in of the first fruits. Only the beginning. Just the start. Just this, this is what I'm trying to say. This is what Luke's trying to say. Pentecost was never a one-off event. Pentecost was not the Spirit's one-hit wonder or 15 minutes of fame. Pentecost was only the beginning. It was the launch. It was the start of what the Spirit was trying to do. By the way, I could make a huge point of this. I won't. But you should notice that the first fruits were pretty good. Did you notice that? Sometimes in church, we won't like, is the Spirit doing anything? Is he bringing people? Look, this crop is a bumper crop. Multi-ethnic, multilingual, multi-demographics. All the Spirit is bringing this rich, rich harvest. And by the way, it's just the launch. It's just the start. Look, here's your first note that Luke's trying to give us here. He's trying to tell us that Pentecost isn't a day. It's a season that we're in. Now, when you understand that, then you can deal with the rest of the account, with the rest of the history. You can unlock it for yourself. Because there's some things that were one-off events. There were some things that were one-hit wonders, you might say. Now, why did they happen? To point you to what would remain. Now, here's one of them. You may be thinking about these already. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Windless wind! Just the sound. Wasn't actually any wind. Now, it makes perfect sense that it was wind. Did you know that? Did you know that wind and spirit are the same words in Greek? Same thing. The Spirit was trying to say to people, I'm breaking in right now. I'm here. Windless wind. He's starting his era of influence, he was saying. And what does he do? What's the biggest part of his era? You know what he does? He lights people on fire for Jesus. Which is what he did, right? They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And again, this is just a one-hit wonder here, just a one-time act of the Spirit. And again, he's using pointers. He's underlining. He's highlighting what would remain in the church this entire era of the Spirit's activity. And what is it that's going to remain? Again, not the windless wind, not the unburning fire. That's not here today. What's left? By the way, Luke was leading up to this the whole time in his account. What's left? Here's what he said. Oh, there's, you know, Spirit pointed us to one way. Sometimes it's called a means that he was going to keep Pentecost going. The Word. Now again, this is not my point, this is Luke's point. Here's what he said. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. What did they do? They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now I think you understand this, but I do want to make this abundantly clear. This was not the language of angels. This was not meaningless babble. This was not unintelligible speech. In fact, Luke makes it abundantly clear that the most remarkable power of Pentecost was this. It was clear language. It was intelligible speech. It was clear communication. It's translated like this in the NIV, but this is what had everybody on jaws on the ground. He said they were utterly amazed at this clear speech. So Luke puts it like this. I want to make it clear how astonished people were at this miracle. Luke actually uses two words for astonishment. NIV translated utterly amazed, but the point is everybody was so amazed that they were hearing words in their own language. So you know those headphones like that you put on at the UN? That's what was happening. You know what happened at Babel, that's getting undone. You know the misfiring of communication that can happen? The Spirit's making sure that doesn't happen here. And what were they saying? What words did the Spirit want people to have? You know what it was? The gospel. They were declaring, quote, the wonders of God. And what was so amazing is that the gospel was coming to them in their own language, in words that they could clearly understand themselves. You know what they did with it? Did you catch it? Let me ask you this. Was there a single person who on that day said, boy, this took an amazing outpouring of the Spirit for people to communicate in my own language? Maybe I should pay attention to the words. Was there a single person that did that day? No. Not a single one. What did they immediately do? What did they immediately do? You know what they immediately did? They fell into vicious stereotypes. Did you notice that? They said, aren't all these speaking Galileans? Aren't these redneck, Hickville, backwoods, unsophisticated Galilean preachers? And look, as if it weren't bad enough to fall into a vicious stereotype and throw all these speakers under the bus, some of them made it worse. Because the scriptures say they began to jeer. In modern language, we might say that they began to massively diss them. And they came up with their conspiracy theories. Did you catch that? The most ridiculous conspiracy theories you'd ever hear of. They said they've had too much wine. And that's the kickoff of Pentecost. That's it. The Spirit comes to people in intelligible words. What do? Fall into vicious stereotypes. The Spirit comes to them with words about Jesus. What do? They point themselves to silly wine drinking theories. Now, Luke, he does spend some time on the ugly side of this history. You know why? Because you can diss the word. You can massively diss the word. You really can. Or you can get more excited about the word than you ever have been in your life before. You know what I think is true? I think you will be excited about Jesus' church today as well and as much as you understand this miracle. Can we be clear about this? There is no violent wind here today. Not even a gentle breeze. There's no unburning fire on my head, I don't think. And I know it's not on yours either. What do we have? We have the Word. We have the Word in song. We have the Word in sermon. We have the Word in baptism. We have the Word. And you are going to be as excited about Jesus' church. You're going to be as much a part of Jesus' church as much as you understand this miracle. And by the way, did you notice that the guy who's speaking most of these words is just a 30-something who's not any smarter, who's not any more sophisticated than a redneck backwoods guy from Galilee? So you're either going to be really excited about what the Spirit is doing in today's church through that and looking at that, or you're going to say, you know what? Maybe Pentecost is dead. Maybe I should check out. Maybe it doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure that we're all guilty, at least I am, at times of the latter. I have seen times in my life, you wouldn't think it, I'm a pastor, but I've seen times in my life when in my heart I have been like the most hardened of sinners and the most pure of hypocrites because I haven't believed in present Pentecost. Maybe for you it looks like this. Maybe for you it looks like you don't have a church home right now. Or maybe for you it looks like, you know, I have a church home, but I never go. Or maybe for you it looks a little bit more like it looks like in my life, because I am a churchgoer. But sometimes when I go, I'm not there. I have gone to sermons, admittedly. I've listened to sermons where my eyes have been locked on the preacher. But my mind has been filling in my March Madness bracket. I have gone to evening services where I am certain that I have counted more sheep than graces from God. I am pretty sure that there have been times in my life when I've gone to worship intent on working out my personal issues for myself instead of letting the Word of God do it for me. Look, this is what I'm trying to show you. We are all guilty of dissing the Spirit's words. Think of it. Think of how many times the Word of God has come to you and to me, and we've martyred His words. We've compartmentalized them. We've filed them. We've ignored them. We've sacrificed them on the altar of our issues or our time management. We have somehow let the Spirit's words die. Somewhere between our eardrum and our brain, or somewhere between this church and our car. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Because we haven't believed in present Pentecost. And that's why I love what Peter does. Did you notice what Peter did? I love that. You know what Peter said? All these people are dissing him. They're jeering at him. And he doesn't come to them and say, you know, you guys have way too many issues. Work them out for yourselves. I'll come back when you're willing to listen. No, what does Peter do? He gives them grace. And it's not without irony, is it, that here they are, they're dissing the words, they're not paying attention to the words. What does Peter give them? More words. This time, words from Joel. And Joel said, look, this is the Pentecostal plan. After Jesus goes to heaven, this is the Pentecostal plan. God's going to give people His words. They're going to communicate it in intelligible language. This is the plan. By the way, this is why we can be so excited about Jesus' church today. Because it's still happening here today. that the Spirit, he didn't check out, he didn't go home, he didn't do a 15 minutes of fame, a one-hit Pentecostal wonder. He is giving us present Pentecostal power in the church today. Presently, in this church today. You see the comfort of that? We don't think the Spirit's checked out. Luke wants us to know he's here with power in the Word. The Word of God isn't lifeless. It isn't dead. It isn't unimportant. Here's your final note for today. We believe the Word works because it comes with the power and the energy of the Spirit. Words are powerful all by themselves, but when they're God's words, oh, let me tell you. Do you remember how God created the earth? What did he do? Do you remember? He spoke. Do you remember what Jesus did when the Sea of Galilee was raging around them? Did he think it calm? No. Spoke it calm. Do you remember how Jesus made Lazarus come back to life? Do you remember how he made the lame walk, the blind see, and forgive people their sins? Was it ESP? Was it a sixth sense? No. Jesus spoke. And what did Peter do? What did Peter do on Pentecost? Was it the unburning fire? Was it the windless wind that converted people? No. What did Peter do? He preached. Peter preached the Word of God and people came to faith. Think of that. Understanding that is understanding Pentecost. That the Spirit right here in this moment, by the power of the Word of God, is cracking open your heart. That He's making faith come alive, that He's stoking it, that He is raining down power on you right now. That you are receiving a massive, massive dose of God. You see, Mr. Catani, he walked out on that stage. He didn't even know this. He couldn't have dreamt how powerful words could actually be. But even he said, and I'm quoting from his world-beating speech, he said a single word. He said a single word can save a life. Today, God's going to save yours. Because the Spirit's never given up on you. Never. Here he is with present Pentecostal power, and he's chasing us down once again. And that's the kind of grace that could only come from a God who gave us Jesus. That's the kind of grace that comes from a God who sends us the Spirit to tell us that Jesus forgives you for all your word dissing. All of it. And he comes to you with those words, and those words have so much raw and authentic, pure Pentecostal power that they come to you, and they don't come into your heart on some cold autumn day, and the words fall lifeless and dumb to the ground like they don't matter. But those words, the very heart and core of the gospel, that Jesus forgives you and Jesus loves you, they come to you with power. They pass through your neurons. They get pushed by the Spirit down into that profound space called your soul. And there it's planted. And you know what comes up? Pure joy. That you're forgiven. And awesome confidence. That God is for you no matter what. And you know what we call that? That is the new life of faith. And that's Pentecost. Not just some dead historic artifact, but present power for you. In this moment, to give you Jesus. Amen. Please stand.